glean from verse 19 to 22 in the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to that church in Ephesus. As we continue on with our teaching series and our learning, the teaching series entitled The Call of Duty, The Principles of Fatherhood. So today we want to go there and we want to look at what we call the foundation of fatherhood. And we have some time to get there. I don't want to be like that preacher that was preaching a sermon one day, and during his sermon, one of the guys in the audience who was listening got up and left the sermon and came back sometime later before the sermon ended, and the preacher noticed him and saw him after church and said, "Hey, I noticed that you got up and left during my sermon, and then you returned." He said, "Where did you go? What were you going to do?" He said, "Well, I had to go get a haircut." So the pastor says, "Well, why didn't you do that before church?" Guy said, "Well, I didn't need one before church." The sermon had gone so long that the guy's hair needed a haircut. Amen. So I don't want to be like that preacher today, so we'll jump right into this and get through it so that we can get out of here. Ephesians, the second chapter, beginning at verse 19, says, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone," underlined cornerstone, if you will, "in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." I want to talk to you today about the foundation of fatherhood. 3 points that we're going to touch on today. We're going to talk about a faulty foundation. And then we're going to talk about a father's foundation. And then ultimately we're going to come to the conclusion of the father's foundation. Verse 19 says that now therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners. Listen, we had a How to Study the Bible training on yesterday, and we talked about these transitional words which are often overlooked in the text as we do our Bible study, but they mean so much and they can be so valuable to our understanding. And here we have the first two words in this passage say, "Now, therefore." And what we taught on yesterday, we said whenever you see the word "therefore," you have to see what it's there for. See, therefore is an indicator of the things that went before. There was a laying of a foundation beforehand, and now therefore marks your response to what was said beforehand. Well, what was said beforehand? First, he said that we were strangers before God. If we go back to chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in flesh by hand, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So the therefore is a response to what you once were. You see, you have a faulty foundation when you are strangers to God. When you remain foreigners to God's word, then you're building on a faulty foundation. The Bible says in verse 11, he says that you were Gentiles in the flesh. It says that you were without Christ, and therefore you were without the hope, without God in the world. You see, when you're in the flesh and without Christ, then your foundations are like the foolish builder that Jesus referred to in Matthew 7, 24. through 29. Turn with me there to Matthew 7, 24, 29. You may be familiar with the story, but let's look at it once again so we can glean from it as it relates to today's message. It says, therefore, whoever hears, there's that therefore again. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Somebody say on the rock. Not on the rocks, but on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded, say, on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, flood came, and the winds blew, and it beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. You see, whenever you decide to build your life, whenever a father is building his life on the sand, is building his life without Christ being the centerpiece, being the cornerstone, then he's building foolishly. And thus, our foundations will be faulty when we are foolish in our building. See, this man built his house on sand. He built his house on things that were temporary. You ever been to the beach? You ever see how the sands are there, and people sometimes build sand castles in the sand there, and then the waves come along and wash away the sand, and it looks like the sand castle had never existed there. The beach is smoothened out by the waves. So this man builds his house on sand. He builds it on stuff that is temporary. His job, his education, his finances, his career, his ability, his strength, his charisma. This man was foolish in his building because he did not consider the cost. Luke chapter 14:28 says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not first consider the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? See, a lot of men are great beginners, but few men are great finishers. But see, Jesus is an ultimate finisher. The Bible calls him the author and the finisher of our faith. Friends, I must submit to you and confess, I've sat down many of times to begin to write a book, and I've yet to complete any of them. One day I'm going to finish a whole library of books. You'll say, wow, I didn't know Pastor Chuck had it in them. But so many times I sat down to write a book, and I was really, really excited about doing it and committed to doing it. And a couple of days I'll get a chapter here, a chapter there, but I've never quite finished the work. But somebody say, God's not finished yet. And neither am I. But you see, some men are great beginners, but not great finishers. They know how to start a marriage, but they don't know how to finish a marriage. They know how to lay down with a woman and make a baby, but they don't know how to raise a child. Are you following me? They don't consider the cost. They don't sit down first and consider, do I have enough to finish what I began? Before I sign up to go to school, do I have enough to finish the project? Before I take the job, do I have enough to finish to get to the job? Before I sit down and build this marriage and build this family, do I have enough to see it through to its end? Oftentimes I hear young people, in particular young ladies who perhaps don't have father figures in their lives or are living lives in a certain way, and I will hear them, I will listen to them, and some of them say, man, I really want a baby. Because they feel that the baby will satisfy them. They feel that the baby will fill the void in their lives that they've been missing, either from a father or from a mother or whatever, and they'll really get excited about having a baby. I just want to have a baby. Notice something missing. They don't say, I want to have a husband. And they don't necessarily say, I want to raise a child. You see, a baby is only a baby for a few years. See, the baby becomes a child, and the child becomes a young woman or a young man and ultimately becomes a man or a woman. So when you sign up to have a baby, then you have to look at the lifelong process of what it's going to take. You want to know that you're producing something or someone that's going to be productive in their lives. See, you have a baby and, you know, you feed it and you change the diaper. You know, it's relatively simple to care for a baby. But as that baby grows up and starts to formulate their own opinions, and sometimes when their opinions are in contrast to your opinions and how you're trying to raise them, and maybe you've been raising them and you go to church every Sunday, but, you know, they're 13 now and they don't want to go to church, and you get into these battles and things like that, and they don't want to listen to you. Now you're dealing with a young lady or a young man, and you have to, are you following me? Don't start to build something that you don't have enough to finish. Are you following me? Amen. See, a father building on a faulty foundation must consider his beliefs and his vices. What are you saying, Pastor Chuck? Listen, we talked about this man being a foolish builder. One of the greatest signs of a man being a fool is that he does what Psalm 14 says. He says that a fool says in his heart that there is no God. Can I just mark an indicator right there? Listen, a fool doesn't necessarily mean someone is stupid. Listen, there are a lot of educated fools. There's a lot of PhD holding doctors that are fools, because anyone that says there is no God is foolish according to the word of God. So a father must consider his beliefs and his vices when he's trying to build the foundation. And if his foundation is faulty, if his beliefs are faulty, if his vices are faulty, he better watch out, because he'll have to answer to the Lord. Psalm 118:22 says, "The stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone." This phrase is repeated throughout scriptures in the New Testament. It says the stone was first rejected. See, it's foolish to reject the stone. It's foolish to reject the word of God. It's foolish to reject God's presence in your life. And any man, anyone claiming to be a father that rejects the knowledge of Jesus Christ, rejects Jesus as his Lord and Savior, is building on a faulty foundation. Are you following me? Because, see, when you reject the builder, when you reject the chief cornerstone, when you reject Christ, then basically you're left to build on your own strength and to build on your own devices. Are you following me? Jesus said to those Pharisees, he said, "Look, have you not read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes." Matthew 21 and 42. He says, "Look, haven't you read the scriptures about me? Haven't you heard about me? You're Pharisees, you're studiers of the word." You know what the word? He was talking to the Jewish community that still rejects the cornerstone, still rejects the Christ of which everything is built. But when we reject the Christ, when we reject the stone, then basically we're left to our own strength. The Bible says in Matthew 7:27, the end of that passage of scripture about the wise and foolish builders, it said that, "And it fell, and great was its fall." Listen, that goes hand in hand with Proverbs 16 and 18. It says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and haughtiness before the fall." Listen, a man who's too proud, who's carrying his pride on his shoulders, is building on a faulty foundation. One of our major downfalls as men sometimes, is as fathers, is that we think we know it all. We think because we're the man, since we wear the pants in the family, that we know it all and we're the end all of everything. And we'll mistakenly even quote the scripture that said that, "Hey, we are the head of the house. You do what I say." But let me warn you, brothers, that you may be the foundation on which the family is built, but you're not the stone on which the foundation lays. Are you following me? You can be the foundation on which the family is built, but you are not the stone on which the foundation lays. Listen, you can put the best foundation on the worst land, and the foundation will crumble. Listen, before they build a house, before they build a building, they have to go and grade the land. They have to go and test the soil. They have to see if the soil can sustain the building. Are you following me? And if the soil can't sustain the building and they still want to build on that land, then they must make preparations for the soil to hold up. They have to do a little extra. Some land is made for building on. Some it's very thick and it will provide what's necessary for a building to lay. But other places are not. Some places have very soft soil. So there's extra preparation that needs to take place when you want to build on that type of land. Listen, some men are great soil, but some men have to be worked with. Some of us need some work. I'm one of them. I'm the chief one of them that needs a little work in order for the foundation to be laid. Are you following me? Pride is the faulty foundation of fatherhood. Brothers, we should never be too proud, because pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit, which is a maximized level of pride, a haughty spirit goes before a fall. Listen, pride says, look, it won't happen to me. Pride says, look, now I got this thing under control. Pride says, look, this is all about me. Don't worry, I got it. When you know you need help. Are you following me? Psalm 61, 1 through 2 says, hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry out to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Brothers, and sometimes we get to the end of ourselves. We get to the end of our strength. We get overwhelmed with life's troubles. We get overwhelmed with the duties of fatherhood. We have to say, lead me to the rock of my strength that is higher than I. That's what the Psalm of David said. Now we know David was a great king. He was a great warrior. But even David said, look, I need to get to a rock that's higher than myself. David was a king by which all other kings would be compared all the way down through the centuries. But he said, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Listen, fellas. We got to come to the end of ourselves so that we can begin with God. Are you following me? Amen. Fathers often fail to see their vices, how their vices affect their family, leading to a faulty foundation. You say, Pastor Chuck, well, what vices are you talking about? Listen, I've always kind of wondered about certain things that fathers are entitled to in their homes. I've always seen fathers that like to chill and relax with a cold beer and watch the game. You say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, me, myself, I think there's a lot wrong with that. My Bible says in Proverbs 20:1, he says that a wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. And those who are led by it are not wise. Well, what's not wise about it? It's just a beer. It's just a quick drink. It's nothing too serious. Well, if you don't want your children to grow up and be alcoholics, you might want to be careful with the alcohol you keep in the home. How many liquor cabinets have been broken into by children when their parents were away? While they're trying to teach them to stay away from the liquor, and the first thing that the children do when the parents go away for vacation for a couple of days is try to get into the liquor cabinet and call over all of their friends. Brothers, your vices will affect your children. As I was listening to the radio, Pastor John Corson of Applegate Fellowship in Oregon, I believe, was telling a story about a man in this community who had a reputation for being the life of the party. If there was a party going on, this man was a part of it in the community. He was always the one to provide the drink and the food. He took great pride and privilege of being able to do that. And wherever there was a party, he would be the one. He would bring the kegger. He would bring all of the liquor. And everyone would have a good time, such as you've seen in the grocery stores this weekend on Memorial Weekend. You've gone to the grocery stores and you've seen how you walked into Stater Brothers or Ralph's or whatever, and you see how they packed all the liquor up real high on the front aisle to make it easily accessible, and you've seen people go in there and they're just happy. They don't even know what they're celebrating. They haven't thought about our military in the lives of the men and women who have served our country so faithfully and have given their lives and limbs for our country. They haven't even thought about that. They thought about the barbecue. They thought about washing the boat up and taking it out on the lake and all of this stuff, and they went on, and they piled up this beer. So this was this guy. He would go, and he would pile up on the liquor until his three-year-old was killed by a drunk driver. Attitude about alcohol changes when it hits you like that. Are you following me? Be careful of the vices we have. Brothers, our sexual addiction that we have, we better deal with them, because if we don't, our children, we'll deal with them. They will affect our families. They will affect our marriages. Are you following me? See, a father must be a master builder. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 to 13. This message is full of scriptures for you all. So if you don't get it from what I'm preaching and teaching this morning, make sure you take the notes and you follow up, because there's so much to glean from when it comes to this very easy yet difficult message to author, because there's just so much out there. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. It says, "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." There's that building again. "According to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder," Paul is saying, "I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed of how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ." Listen, brothers, there's no other foundation that can be laid which that has not already been laid. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. We're talking about, our next point is a father's foundation. Listen, if you want to be a master builder, if you want to have the foundation that stands, you have to have a father's foundation. Ephesians 2:20 says, "Being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets." Listen, a father's foundation should be built on the word of God. Acts 2:42 says, "And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in prayers, and in breaking the bread." So the father's foundation should be based on the word of God. See, the church was based on the apostles' doctrine. It was built upon the foundation of what they were preaching. When Peter preached that message in the early part of the book of Acts, when he preached about Christ being the Lord and the Savior, the church responded, and the church was birthed. And the church grew. It said that God added to their numbers 3,000 in one day off of one sermon that was preached. Amen. That's going to happen here one day. Pastor Chuck's going to preach a message, and 3,000 are going to be added in one day. Heed my words. Well, maybe not 3,000, but I don't limit what God can do. Who am I to say what God can't do at Relevant Church? But see, the church itself was built upon the word of God. Jesus was there with his disciples, and he says, "Look, who do men say I am?" And Simon Peter answered, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response was, "On this rock I will build my church." See, the church is founded on the rock, which is what? The word of God. Jesus was referring to the words that Jesus spoke, that Peter spoke when he said, "On this rock." He said, "On this rock I will build my church." And there were two things happening there. Peter's name, the meaning of Peter's name, Petros, was rock. So it had a double meaning. Who preached the message in the book of Acts that I just mentioned? Peter. So you see how it had a double meaning when Jesus was speaking there. He said, "On this rock I'm going to build my church." So the church was built on a rock. What is a church? A church is a family. So in the same way that the church was built on the word of God, then the family must be built on the Word of God. And it's the father's responsibility to lay the foundation for the family. It's the father's responsibility to lay the foundation for the Word of God to be taught and understood in the home. The song says, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Listen, if you're building on anything other than the rock, then it's sinking sand. Are you following me? A father's foundation needs to be built to last. Listen, in our story about the foolish and wise builder, one thing they had in common, the rains came and descended on both of them. The Bible says it rains on the just as well as the unjust. That means that we will all have trials and tribulations, whether we're saved or not. Whether our rock is, whether our homes, our house, our family is built on the rock or it's built on sand, the storm will come. There'll be some, there'll be layoffs. There'll be some mispayments. There'll be some things that'll take place. But what happens, the result of the storms depends on what it's built upon. Are you following me? If it's built upon the sand, then the house will fall away. The marriage will be destroyed. The relationship between the parents and the children will be diminished. But when it's built on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, then even if the house goes into foreclosure, even if the house is lost, the family doesn't have to be lost. Are you following me? Needs to be built to last. Oral Roberts once said, expect the best but plan for the worst. That's a great quote and a great bit of advice for fathers. We expect the best for our families. We expect the best for our marriages. We expect the best for our homes, but we better make sure that we plan for the worst. It means we've got to be prepared for the things that hit us in life. We have to be prepared for those sudden things that attack our lives. Are you following me? Foundation needs to be built to last. In order for it to stand the test, it must stay connected to the rock. The foundation must stay connected to the rock. Are you following me? Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. What Jesus is saying, if you don't stay connected to me, how do you stay connected? Well, coming to church is one way to stay connected. Having a group of godly friends who can uplift you and encourage you and hold you accountable. Are you following me? Don't surround yourselves with just a bunch of yes men who say, yes, you're right. Yes, keep doing. Yes, yes, yes. You don't want some yes men. You want some men, some brothers, some strong men, some iron around you. The Bible says iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens the countenance of his brother or of his friend. So you need someone who has who loves you enough to tell you the truth. Are you following me? You need someone who loves you enough to say, hey, man, you've been out of work for a long time, bro. What's up? Are you following me? You need brothers around you that says, hey, look, man, what are you talking to your wife? That's not really cool, man. What's going on? Do we need to talk? What's going on in your life? Hey, man, you're spending too much time with me, bro. You need to go home. You know, there's a proverb about that. It said, don't visit your friend's house too many times unless he hates you. I'm paraphrasing. Are you following me? So we need to stay connected. We stay connected by staying in his word. Staying connected to the word of God. We should have a normal schedule, a normal time of studying his word and staying in his word. Are you following me? It goes on in Ephesians 2:20. It says, in him in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord. See, the foundation must support the fitting together of the family. The foundation must uphold the togetherness of the family. Listen, you got little Susie going this way. You got Johnny going this way. And then your wife's going another way. It's the job of the father to bring them all together so that there's unity. No, Susie, you can't go to cheerleading right now. No, Johnny, you can't go play basketball right now. We need a time of devotion. for the family. Because the family needs to fit together. But it fits together only when the foundation has been laid straight. Are you following me? The foundation secures the growth of the temple in the family. Are you following me? A temple, a place of worship, a place where God's presence is welcome. The foundation is responsible for securing the growth of the temple, the growth of the home. Listen, a father has to have a vision. His responsibility is to carry the vision for the family. And then when the father carries the vision for the family, then all other participants secure the vision and support the vision. And when I say all members of the family, I mean everyone in your household is part of the family. And everyone in the household needs to have the vision that the father has set. Are you following me? The vision of the house is not laziness. The vision of the house is not the father goes to work and everybody else gets to roll over. That's not the vision of the house. Are you following me? The vision of the house is when I get up, everybody gets up and does something. I'm gone from 9 to 5. You should be gone from 9 to 5 doing something in school, at work. If you don't have a job, then your job is looking for a job. Are you following me? We're talking about a father's foundation. Now let's talk about the father's foundation. This is the good part, y'all. Look at your neighbor and say, this is the good part. Ephesians 2:20 said, Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Listen, the cornerstone was this big rock that was used to secure the building. It was this big rock that was laid to support the foundation. It was kind of like the key. It was kind of like the key to the building. It was the key that held everything together. Listen, when I was a child, and I still have a bike, but when we rode a bike, and sometimes the chain would get all mixed up on the bike chain. Maybe it wasn't enough oil or whatever. And when you wanted to fix the chain, you had to find the master link. Are you following me? See, the master link was the place that you can open it up and release the chain so you can get out all of the crinkles and things like that, and then you would have to go and lock. That's how the cornerstone is. The cornerstone is like the master link that holds everything together. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was the chief cornerstone. I mentioned before that has been said several times back in Psalms 118, where he says the chief cornerstone, the rock that you have rejected, has become the chief cornerstone. See, the Jewish people he was talking about, that was a reference to the people rejecting Christ. But he would be the ultimate source of their salvation. Listen, he was crucified because they rejected what he was saying. They rejected the stone, but he turned out to be the chief cornerstone of their salvation. The cornerstone was the first large stone placed at the corner of a building structure. The builder would line up the rest of the structure along with the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone. See, that chief cornerstone must be Jesus Christ. So when in the Father's foundation, you have to have the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, and everything else that's built around it must line up. It must line up with Christ. It must line up with the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 6 says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame." I love the way the book of Isaiah says it. It says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for the foundation." He says, "A tried stone." Listen, you tried everything else. Have you tried Jesus? Listen, you tried things your own way, but you found out that there is a way that is right in a man's sight, but that way leads to destruction. You've tried it your way. Why don't you try Jesus? He's been tried. That means he's been tested. He's been proven worthy. He's been tried. He's carried the weight. He's carried the burden. He's been tried. He's been tried. He's been put on trial. He's been tried. He's been put on trial for crimes he never committed. He was tried in the court of law. He was tried in the court of public opinion even. by his brethren, by those who should have been worshiping. He was tried by his friends that had brought him into Jerusalem, and they said, "Hosanna, Hosanna." They celebrated him just a few days earlier. He's been tried in the fire, but he's come out as pure gold. Listen, the cornerstone, he's the rock. Jesus is the rock. Not that guy, what's his name, Dwayne, not the, can I do it, the eyebrow dude? Not that rock. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. You watch wrestling, you watch movies, the eye thing. I can't do it that well. But not the eyebrow, dude. We're talking about Jesus, the rock, the solid rock on which I stand. Are you following? Someone should have clapped right there. There it is. We got one, we got two. Amen. It's this rock that the foundation must be laid. The rock of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:22, the end of our passage of study today, says, "In him, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Listen, Jesus, the rock, equips us with his Spirit. Are you following me? He equips us so that we can build, be careful to build on what he's given us. So our families can be built up and be strengthened. For our children can be built up and strengthened by the Spirit of God. There's a faulty foundation. There's a father's foundation. And then there's the Father's foundation. Give the Lord a hand praise. If you love him.